Greetings, welcome to another episode of Black Talking Black with your host Aleem. This is one I really gotta get off my chest. You know, when you're watching something and you want to be a part of it, but the people that you're watching, they can't hear you talk because it's a video. I just had an experience like that where I'm watching a group of collegiate level black people talking about the verdict of Bill Cosby. This is very painful to watch because one thing I know about the socialization of in this new age, the white man made it his business to kill blackness in the 90s. So you won't find a lot of people representing blackness, true blackness, in these modern times. The white man pretty much flushed it down the toilet, and you'll see black people exemplifying more white, watered down black narratives and ideas and thinking. And it is really infuriating to me. It's infuriating because it's like every 10 years you forget where the fuck just happened 10 years before. Black people saying stupid shit like, it's 2018. This shouldn't be happening anymore. It doesn't matter if it's 2018 or if it's 1818. You are still a nigga. How do I know you're still a nigga? Because you call yourself a nigga and you call other people a nigga. And by calling yourself a nigga, you are saying, without knowing it, because you are a nigga. And let's face it, as a nigga, white people don't teach you much. So you don't even know what you're doing. As a nigga, you don't realize that by saying you're a nigga, you are saying I occupy the same occupation that I did 100 years ago. You don't realize that. You don't see that by making that statement, I'm a nigga, I'm a Negro, you think it's just fun. You calling yourself a nigga, calling other black people niggas, you think that's just all good fun. Or the older black people saying, Negro, please. You think that stuff is kind of cute. You think that's funny. But you don't realize when you say those things that you are actually admitting to the fact that you occupy the same space you did 100 years ago. You did not raise up. No matter how many so-called superficial successes you think you had in this country, you as black people still has not risen up above the slave level that we were at 100 years ago. So by calling yourself a nigga and a Negro, you are saying to the world, I'm still in the same position, just in a modern setting. I'm still a slave. I just have a car now. I'm still a slave. It's just that, I make money now, but the money is inconsequential because the money is just enough to pay the rent. You're not making any money to create generational wealth, which is where slavery ends. See, debt is slavery. Generational wealth is how you destroy slavery. Creating businesses is how you destroy slavery. And creating a more black environment where there are black traditions being passed on. Not hip hop. Hip hop is not a black tradition, brothers and sisters. I was listening to Nas yesterday and Nas was teaching me. No, Nas is not going to teach you nothing in no song, black man. I was listening to Jay-Z and that's kind of where I get my inspiration. Hey, look, stop that. That's stupid. Go read a book. Stop that. Go read. Stop that. Man, that Kendrick Lamar album was... Stop that. Yeah, I love Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z, and all those brothers. And I listen to all their music because I need to stay up to times with what's going on. But I don't rely on those men to help facilitate my thinking. Stop it. So what I notice with these new age black people, they want to be white. They have very white ideas. They're not black. Which is a far cry from the 90s, because in the 90s, everything was black. Arsenio Hall, Martin, Living Single. You saw brothers and sisters walking down the street wearing African dress, African robing. Today, you won't see any of that. You'll be very, it'll be very rare for you to see something like that. Because the white man did a very good job in eliminating blackness. He did an excellent job. He opened up the doors for black people to feel more American. And when black people saw that door open, they said, fuck all this black stuff. I want to be American. So I'm listening to these black people on this show, and I can't, I'm talking to my own damn cell phone because I want to have my opinion heard about this. Because I'm listening to black women and black gay black men, which is basically the same thing, just black women, black women in a man's body, talking about Bill Cosby raped these women. And it's like, we're not going to get over the fact that he raped these women. Hey, listen, listen, new age, new thinking, philosophizing Negroes and niggas. You don't know anything about that. And for you to take sides with white women, it's 60 of them. I don't care if it was 100,000 white women. The higher the number, it should cause, the higher the number should bring awareness to the suspicion. They're trying to use numbers against this man. They're trying to use numbers to trick you. And it's only tricking small-minded, trend-following Negroes and niggas who claim they went to college. I went to college and got my master's degree. Hey, let me tell you something about college. If you do not have knowledge yourself before you go to college, the only knowledge that you have is the knowledge that white people give you. And so when things happen within the black community, you will not possess the right type of spirit, attitude, or knowledge to address those things in the correct way. You will always tackle black problems with white answers. That's a fact. That's what college does for you, so-called Negroes. So I'm listening at these so-called intelligent black people. They are intelligent, but they think that they have the hold all the keys and knowledge, and they don't. So they are trying to, you are really, you don't leave no shadow of a doubt to whether or not a black man is guilty or innocent when white women say they, when it's white women involved. Do you know how evil white women are? Come on now. I know the attention is always on the white man and the white man is evil. He certainly definitely is. He is. He's a damn devil. Go and listen to him talk sometimes. You'll be like, what is he talking about? I remember my first day at some job very recently. We were in orientation and, you know, we had finished doing all of our work. And then, you know, we had like 5 minutes or 10 minutes before it was time to go home. And then everybody just started having conversations. And the instructor started talking about having sex with midgets. Why? Well, what's on your mind that makes you talk like that? That's how white men think. White men are very strange, peculiar people. There's no telling what they're thinking. Now, how do white women fit into this? White women are right there alongside of white men and think being strange thinking people. And you don't have to rape white women. That's a lie. That's a lie that is as old as America. White men causing themselves. That was the lie behind King Kong. You know, King Kong is based upon white men's fear of black men stealing their women. King Kong was supposed to represent Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson was a black heavyweight champion who courted and dated and had sex with a lot of white women back in the early times. Back in the time where, you know, that wasn't really the smartest thing to be doing publicly, having sex with white women. But this black man was doing that. Jack Johnson was walking around having sex with white women. He was doing that. So they made a movie called King Kong, which was supposed to be a euphemism. I think, it was a euphemism for Jack Johnson, a big, strong, burly black man and a big, strong gorilla that kidnaps a white woman and takes up the Empire State Building. That movie was used to racially infuriate white men against black men taking their women. So the narrative in the white community always has been, don't trust black men, they'll rape your women. Even though we know for a fact that white men are the real rapists. That's why my great grandmother is light as snow. She's a black woman, but according to family history, she tried to pass for white when she was growing up because she's that light skinned. And it was in those times she would have had better chances of getting more things available to her if she passed for white. And she's only light skinned because a white man raped her mother. And I once had a woman in my family who will remain nameless say, "Aren't you glad grandma got raped by that white man so that we can have pretty skin?" Where was the white woman at when the white man was raping these black women? Were they right there talking about feminists? We're all feminists and you shouldn't rape black women? Black women appall me. When you talk about your dislike for black men, it's appalling. It really is. Because the black man never oppressed you. Let's keep things 100. You don't listen to what black men say. You can get the hell out of here with that. You don't listen to what black men say. No, you don't. No, you don't. Black men say, "Hey, don't wear that outside. You look like a whore. Don't tell me what to wear, nigga." But the white man, you go to the white man's job, he said, "Well, we have a dress code here. You're going to have to wear something a little bit more business professional." "Okay, yes, sir. I'll do that." You are not oppressed by black men. You are oppressed by white men, but you benefit from being oppressed by white men. Well, you don't benefit at all. But in your mind, you are higher up in the social structure than black men in this country, black women are. So I'm always confused when black women, you will side with white women before you side with black men. Feminism hurt you black women. That's what feminism did, because it gave you it opened your eyes to something that didn't even exist. White women talking about being free from the white man. You know, you want to know why? Because the white man really was oppressing the white woman. That's a fact. There was this episode of Roseanne where they were like doing a parody of the 50s or like 40s or something, and they had the episode in black and white. It was hilarious. John Goodman and Roseanne, a comedy gold. Roseanne and John Goodman probably both crackers, white devils. But in that show, they comedy gold. And John Goodman had came home from work or something, and Roseanne said, "I think this, that, and the third." And John Goodman was like, "Hold on, wait a minute. What do you mean you think?" Because the joke was basically, as a woman, you weren't supposed to think. Now, this is not how black men coexist with black women. That has never been documented, that black men have been overbearing to black women. Let me give you an example of a king back in Africa, and the homie named King Gizo, and he formulated what is called by historians the Black Amazons. Now, the Amazons are traditionally white women, but there is no historical fact that any white women, warrior white women ever existed. This is white fiction. White people are very imaginative people. They created a fiction of white women being warriors. But a black man actually did this. He created a small army. He created an army of black women because he found that the black women were more, when properly trained, they were more efficient at being killers than the black men. Not to mention, you know, you fighting against a woman, your defenses are down because you assume that as a woman, she's not going to be able to fight as good as you. And then she ends up taking your head off and killing you. I mean, literally taking your head off with a machete. And this black is a picture of a black woman holding a black man's head. Took his head off. There's documents of how these black women thought about their king, the King Gizo. And one woman was captured. She was a spy. And she went somewhere trying to, you know, gain some intel on the enemy. And they got a testimonial from that woman. And she said about King Gizo, she said, "I have to get back to my master. I have to get back to my master." Something along those lines. Now, to some immature thinking black women and some simple-minded, simpleton black men, that might sound at first hearing like the king was enslaving her. No. No. Men have thoughts and plans. That's a part of being a man. A part of being a man is having a plan. And women are created to help men execute their plans. That's what women are created to do. Now, a lot of you women are out here mad because you can't find a man. I can't find a man. But you also don't want a man to tell you what to do. So you're going to be one of those women who just stay alone for the rest of your life. Unfortunately for you, you're going to miss out on a lot of beautiful memories because you chose to be that type of woman. It's hard for you to get over the pain of what your father or what previous boys or men did in past relationships. And now you want to be embittered for the rest of your life. And some of that is because men have actually done serious damage to you. And it's hard for you to overlook that and trust black men. And I pray that Allah helps you to get over that. I pray that Allah helps to mend your heart so that you can be what you were created to be. But this black woman wasn't calling this black man her master because she was his slave. She was calling this black man her master because of how great he was in her eyes. See, you can't even imagine that. You can't imagine that. You know, you see Muhammad Ali, you think Muhammad Ali, that's a great black man. But imagine an African black man who's never been enslaved. He's never been in slavery. He's a descendant of royalty. He never been enslaved. He never had nobody take his name. His name is Gizo. And he's strong because of his love for his people is vibrant and it's alive. And he has access to his people. Greetings. This is part two to the Bill Cosby part one. Every time somebody calls the phone, it interrupts the podcast. So that was the reason why that one was cut short. That's something that Anchor has to get on top of, definitely. But basically, I forget where I left off. I believe I was talking about King Gizo and his women. I was talking about how the women loved him so much because of his immense power as a black man, as a black man, as a man who has known no other culture but black. He's not a black man who is sitting around playing Nintendo and then it's black. He's not a black man who was raised thinking about George Washington, but then it's black. He was a black man who was raised thinking about the history of his people and the continuance of his people. And he was so magnificent that these black women, they had no problem at all listening to whatever he said, because what he said ensured the survival of not only himself but of all his people. So the black woman had no problem helping him in whatever he said to do. And Bill Cosby is a man not of that same stature, but in America, Bill Cosby is considered a great man. And women are attracted to greatness. Let's just be honest. You can't be a woman and try to deny the fact that you have a attraction towards the power that men have. That you can't deny that. That's a factor. If we're factoring in things in this case, we have to look at the whole spectrum. Do women love men with power? Yes or no? Why is it that men with power can have hundreds of women? And all of them know about each other. When a woman goes up to Future or Jay-Z or I'm not trying to get you in any more trouble, brother. Let me use somebody else. When a woman goes up to 21 Savage, you think she doesn't know that he slept with 100 women before her? She doesn't care. She doesn't care. That's not why she's there. She's not there to think about those 100 women. She's just there for her 15 moments. Her 15 minutes of fame is what matters at that moment. She doesn't care about anything else. And these white, you don't have to be rich to even have sex with a white woman. Do you know how many times white women have asked me in so many words to have sex with them? Or to date them? I have not kissed so much as kissed a white woman, much less had sex with them or dated one. White women throw themselves at black men. You don't have to be rich. Your blackness makes you rich enough, because blackness endows black men with a certain spiritual quality that is just, it's impressive. When you study black men, it's impressive. Study black men. Study black men's mannerism. Study black men's energy. It's very impressive stuff. It should be a scientific undertaking for people to calculate and measure the energy that black men give off and how different that energy can be represented in each individual black man. It's quite impressive. And white women are not blind to energy. Women in general are energy seeking people. That's why women tend to talk about feeling and energy more than anything else. They don't talk about thought and logic and things like that. They talk about energy, vibes, and feeling. And white women are no exception to that. White women have feelings, and white women have sensory perception, and they are able to determine energy just like black women. Not as well as black women, because the blackness of our melanin endows us and gives us the capacity to be more feeling. Black women cry harder than white women. Black women get angrier than white women. Emotions are conveyed in stronger frequencies in black people than in white people. White people are very good at demonstrating low frequency emotions like depression and anger and things like, well, not so much anger, because anger can be righteous or anger can be melodramatic. Or just, you know, anger can be just, you know, pure fury without any intelligence behind it. But anger can be righteous when there's a lot of intelligence behind it. Kind of like what you're hearing in my voice right now, where it has a tinge of anger at the tip of it. But I'm not angry, truly. I'm not, I'm like the burning bush. You know, I'm not letting the fire consume my leaves, so to speak. I'm still very much in control of my passion. I'm not very angry, but I am a little incensed. We convey these emotions better because we have a better understanding of emotions and where emotions come from. Our emotions come from a realer place, so we have realer emotions than they do. But white women see black men and are attracted to black men. Always have been. A white woman would rape a black man if she could. I remember one time I got stabbed. I got stabbed 3 times one time. One time I got stabbed 3 times in one night. And I was emergency helicoptered to a hospital in Baltimore. And the white woman, they were trying to take my clothes off so quickly. It wasn't because, you know, oh, this is the job they're trying to run. No, these white women were actually trying to see my penis. This is a true story. It was probably like 6 white women. I actually had to cover my penis because they were trying to take off my my gown, hospital gown, that quickly. They were trying to remove my hospital gown when I was laying in the gurney. When they were transferring me from one to my gurney to the hospital bed, they had to dress my wounds, and my wounds, of course, were on my back, on my, you know, towards on my back, and they also on my butt, my buttocks as well. I got slashed across the butt. I have a slash across my butt, as well as a few punctures above it. And these women desperately wanted to see my penis. This is true. And I have other stories. I had a story when me and my father were in the hotel, and a group and 3 white girls came, and while I was swimming in the swimming pool, stripped down to nothing and started swimming in the swimming pool with me. This is a fact. This is a true story. I had just recently a white girl ask me for my number. I told her, no, I'm not going to give you my number. So, if I thought hard enough, I could probably even give more examples of that. But that's just me. Now, and am I the best looking black man? I'm one of them. But I'm not very athletic. I'm not one of the athletic looking brothers. I never got a woman because of my athleticism or because of how big my muscles were. I always got women because of how intelligent I was, and I lost women because of how stupid I was. But I'm not the best looking black man there is. That's basically what I'm trying to say. And for those black men will tell you how many white women they probably had, because typically those athletic brothers, they don't have any real morals when it comes to being black. They don't care about being black. Being an athlete is like being a slave today. You don't care about being black. You just care about being an athlete and how good you can make your team look and your coach look and trying to get into the NFL. That's it. You don't really care about representing black people and stuff like that. You don't. No, you don't. You will get rich and famous, and then you will go immediately find you a white wife. That's what you will do. Because you do not have any real concern or any real sympathy or love for your people. Because love for black people is not something that's taught in school. That's why so many white people grow up and start, you know, siding with the police officers when black men are killed, because they weren't taught how to love black people in school. They were taught stories of everything they learned about black people in school taught them to disrespect black people. Black people used to be your slaves, and then they had a civil rights movement where they tried to have more rights than you gave them before. There's nothing in that will require a white person to try and have more respect for a black person. All it is trying to pull on a white person's sense of pity to make them pity black people. But pity is not a very, pity is an emotion that is hard to summon. And it's an emotion that people don't enjoy summoning. It's very difficult to pity somebody. Pitying somebody is almost like, you know, looking at somebody as less than what you are. And the whole act of pitying somebody is a pitiful thing. Pity is pitiful. It's a pitiful emotion, pity. It's not really one of the strongest emotions that a human being can possess in any given scenario. When you pity somebody, it's like you're pissing on them, but you're trying not to get it in their eyes so much. You're trying to be polite while being, you know, Why you're trying to be polite in a situation where you don't really want to be. That's pitying. That's what white people do. White people don't want to be responsible for the damage that they've caused towards black people. So there's a narrative. Oh, I was talking about King Kong. King Kong is a narrative. King Kong was talking about black people. That's what King Kong was all about. And so the white man, for a very long time, has tried to say that black men have been raping white women. Emmett Till was killed for whistling at a white woman. And it comes to find out from the woman who did that, Emmett Till never did that to her. She lied on Emmett Till and said that he did that. Whether he did it or didn't, it doesn't cause for, you know, men to come and kill somebody. But it turns out that that white woman died. And that one of the last things she did before she left this earth was she admitted that she lied about Emmett Till doing that to her. She just wanted to see, she being a white woman, the counterpart to the white man. Who is the white man? The white man is a devil. Aleem, I don't really like that. I don't like thinking of white men as devils. I'm sorry. You would rather think of black men as devils. If I called a black man a nigga, you wouldn't care as much if I called a white man a cracker, because you a nigga. You a slave to the white man. Those of you who think that way. So I'm okay with you being upset. I don't care about niggas' feelings. I care about your mind, but I don't care about your feelings, because you're too emotional anyway. And you need to let a lot of that go. So white men killed Emmett Till because the white woman wanted to see the white man's reaction when she told him the story. So imagine us white women making up a story and then going home. And what's her motive? Why? What does she want to see? She wants to see murder. She wants to see, what are these white men willing to do for me? Why? Why you want to see that, white woman? Because you're oppressed. The white man doesn't, you know, particularly care about your opinion. You're not, you know, your opinion's not wanted in the white man's household. You're a woman. You're supposed to bear my children. I don't care about you. And a lot of those white men are just homosexuals anyway. They don't really see the value in white women. That's why I had white friends growing up. My white friends did not love their mothers. They didn't have love for their mother like I had love for my mother. I have love for my mother. My white friends did not love their mothers. They could give a fuck about their mothers. I had a white friend who took his paintball gun and went outside and shot his mother's car up with it. And she was mad at me. She was more mad at me than she was mad at him. She said, "Go home, Aleem." She didn't say anything to him. She said something to me, because it was easier to be angry at me than it was her own son. Because in her mind, this was just the world that she was born into. She was born into a world where the white man is her ruler, and she's supposed to do what the white man says, even if it's her own damn stupid son. That's the type of oppression that white women go through. So with that type of oppression, you know, where you're not paid attention to, you might start doing things to be, vindictive, to try and get attention. Oh, today a little black boy whistled at me. You want to stir up the hatred that white men have for a black man, and to see what they're going to do. What you going to do? Today a little black boy, he whistled at me. He did what? The white man doesn't care about you. He doesn't care nothing about you. You're a white woman. The white man doesn't care about white women. The white man uses white women as sexual props. You selling beer? You selling a car? Throw a naked white woman in there with it. White man doesn't care about preserving the honor or the respect, the dignity of white women. He does not. No, he does not. He has no respect for white women. That's why white women hate white men. And white men hate white women. They have a very they have a codependent relationship that they rely on. That's why you see them getting married at 17, 18 years old, 19. You wonder, why are these white people getting married so young? Because they have a responsibility to their country. They don't get married because they are in love. No, that's not true. That's not it. They get married young because they are trying to hold together the knitting of the country. The fabric of the country is held together by relationships between two people, and how, in contrast to the rest of the world, if black people are not getting married at all, it looks better when all white people are getting married. That it looks better, so it continues the narrative that white people are better than black people. That's why they do it. They do it for their country. They're not doing it because of anything else. Some of them do it because of the tax benefits that you get from it. It's not because of love or anything like that. Okay? So, 60 white women or more say that a black man raped them. And a few black women are peppered in there. But the only reason why I don't mention those black women, because those black women are just white women with black skin. I saw a black woman on there. She came out the courtroom crying. Not crying with tears coming out her eyes, but making the face of a cry, which in and of itself is fake. You know, if you go to any acting school, if you make a face to try and cry, but you know real tears are coming out, you're not selling anybody or anything. You're trying to cry, which is fake. When you try to do anything, that's fake. You have to just do it because you are really experiencing a real emotion. This black woman was trying to make herself cry. Therefore, she was trying to showcase a certain emotion that she felt like would suit the situation, which makes her a liar, okay? It makes her a liar. When you try to show a certain emotion to in the face of a certain situation because you want people to see you react to the situation that way, that makes you an actor. And just another word for an actor is a liar. And this woman was not able to produce tears. She just produced a lot of sobbing and a lot of whining, and she was crying. She was, hugging a white woman, and the white woman was consoling her, and the white man even came over and started to console her too, which makes me know this is very fake, because white men don't give a goddamn about black women crying black women like that. Then she went outside and then told the reporter, she said, "Oh, I can't believe this is happening. This must be a dream. Can somebody pinch me?" Black women don't talk like that. When black women are hurt by something, they talk a little bit differently. It would go more so like, "I am so happy that this black man is, I'm so happy this man is arrested. This is something that," it would go a little bit differently. Not, "Can somebody pitch me? I must be dreaming." That's not how women talk when they're in pain and in trauma. So I don't believe white people. I'm sorry that you do. That to me just means that you're blind, deaf, and dumb to the knowledge of yourself and to the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the devil. I'm sorry you don't see white people. But there's some good white people. No, there's not. And if you can find them, go and bring them to us. And we'll show you just how good they are. They're not good. If they believe the things that you believe, they're not good. If the reason why you believe the things you believe is because you listen to your good white friends, they're not good. A good white friend would encourage you to be a blacker person. That's a fact. If they were really good, they would encourage you to be blacker. A good white friend would encourage you to participate in activities that increased your mind and increased your character, and not always calling you to come smoke weed and drink alcohol with them. Or do some type of trivial thing that doesn't do anything for you as a black person. Because you tell them to do things that encourage them to be white. You always trying to cheerlead your white friends. You always trying to be encouraging to your white friends all the time. They don't know how to reciprocate that to you. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. I'm gonna go ahead and end this and say goodnight to y'all. Y'all, you know. In the Holy Quran, it says, "Do you enjoy eating the flesh of your dead brother?" Basically, what Allah is trying to say is, do you enjoy tearing down your brothers and sisters when they do something wrong? But he words it a little bit differently, Allah, because he's trying to get us to see how disgusting it is when we talk about our own people. He says, do you enjoy eating the flesh of your dead brother? Do you enjoy talking about your brother because of what you think he may have done? And you enjoy it. You enjoy the conversation. You enjoy the conversation where you can have a conversation with another person and you're both hating the same person at the same time. You enjoy that. But let somebody talk about you. Let somebody start talking about something that you did that you don't want nobody to know about, or something that you didn't do, and they're talking about it, and let you find out about it. Man, those motherfuckers talking about me, man. Yeah. All right, gotta go. Peace. This is part two to Bill Cosby. It got cut off because my phone rang. I left off talking about King Gizo and the Amazons, and how the black Amazonian, or she was, she's not an Amazon. This was in Africa, but the historians called them the black Amazons because they were a warrior regiment, or, you know, a grouping of warrior women, soldiers. They were used for police work. They were used to settle differences between people. They were used in domestic affairs between the Dahomeans. They were used in foreign affairs between other nations, where they were sent, you know, as the police private escort, or they were sent as soldiers, these black women. They were used as guards in the king's palace. These black women were treasured by the king, King Gizo. They were given purpose. Their lives were given purpose to be warriors for their people. They were very proficient warriors, these women. They started out as elephant hunters. They would hunt the elephants. And hunting elephants was very dangerous, is very dangerous, especially without a gun. And these black women will hunt elephants, and most of the time they would be trampled, killed, speared by the elephant's tusk, speared through their stomachs by the elephant's tusk. You know, you don't want a 3-ton animal running at you with a sharp object. So these women, they encountered a lot of danger. So the king saw use for this, and he made them into his imperial guard. And one of these black women was so in love with the king, with the purpose that he gave her as a woman, with the sense of use and the sense of love that he gave her, to give her a place in his army. That she says, I have to get back to my master. I have to get back to him. This black woman loved this man so much, she gets captured by the enemy, and she says, I gotta get back to my master. I gotta get back to my boyfriend, to my husband. My husband, he's gonna be looking for me. But it's greater than those terms, husband or boyfriend. She said master. Not because he made her say that. See, that's the difference. Black women, you can't make a black woman do anything. She's going to do it because she sees the benefit of doing it. Or she's not going to do it because she doesn't see the benefit of it, of doing it. But you can't make a black woman do anything. But if you can make a black... But if somehow a black woman calls you her master without you asking her to, that means that that black woman has tremendous love for you. She has tremendous spiritual love. Now, you black women listening, you may not understand that. You know, because you've been dealing with niggas your whole life. You approach, you know, that kind of word with like some type of chauvinism. You think that's chauvinistic, a woman calling a man her master. And that's really why you're going to have a very terrible go at relationships. You're going to have a very terrible experience with relationships because you don't understand the position that you should play in a relationship with a man. You don't understand that you are there to console a man, to be his helper, to be, you know, to help ease his mind. You don't understand that yet. So you're going to have a very bad time. Sorry for you. Sorry. But this woman did understand that. Unlike you. She's your grandmother. This woman, she's your great-great-grandmother. Great-great-great-great-grandmother. This black woman talking. She was very young at the time because the Amazonian guard, they ranged from their teens to like their... Some of them were a lot older, but they usually were very young. This was a very young woman who... was in love with this brother, this black man, this black king, this black god. She saw him as a god. The French, the white French and the white British who came and visited him saw him as something like a god themselves. They were very, he had such an amazing character as a man that it impressed them to the point where they wrote about him. And would share the stories that they wrote about him with the Queen of England and royalty. Because this black man was that man. So the black woman says, no, you got to let me go. I got to get back home to my master. So you look at Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby is a great man himself. Not great like that, but he's a great man. King Gizzo never had to rape no women, and neither do Bill Cosby. But men with power don't have to rape women. Women will lend themselves to men with power. Women will lend themselves in any way possible, especially sexually, because that's how women ensnare men. That's how women use. That's a major tool in a woman's arsenal. A woman's arsenal is not. You know, she doesn't always use her intelligence. A woman will use her body before she uses her intelligence. And to her, that is intelligent. That's why women sometimes equate sexuality with intelligence. I'm just expressing my sexuality. You don't hear her saying I'm expressing my intellectuality. But that's exactly what she means. When she says I'm expressing my sexuality, she really means to say I'm expressing my intellectuality. But as men, we know that there's a big difference between the two of those things. But when you think from the mindset of a woman who uses sex to get what she wants, or uses sex to attract men, or uses the curvature of her body to get the eyes of a man onto her, you have to think that she thinks that this is intelligent. And in a sense it is, because you are using something to get something, and that's intelligent. But it's not the greatest intelligence there is. And so these women, they are women. And when Bill Cosby first met them, they weren't young women. They were young women, but they weren't preteens or they weren't adolescents. They were women who had probably not had more than one sexual encounter before they met Bill Cosby, and who were very aware of their sexuality before they met Bill Cosby, and who knew Bill Cosby was married, and who would go to private meetings with Bill Cosby in private places and be with him for long hours without his wife knowing. These women knew those things. And you want to completely discredit Bill Cosby. You don't believe in the evil of white women. I do. When I look on the news and I see white women trying to call the police, and you know, when white people call the police on black people, that's an assassination attempt, because white people are hoping that they can use their whiteness to cause the police officer to kill whomever they call the police on. That's why white people do that. Did you know that? Okay, well, you know now. When white people call the police on black people, that is an assassination attempt. That's like calling a mercenary. That's like 911 is, hey, do you guys have somebody who can come kill this black person for me? Yeah, we'll send somebody right over. That's why they do it. And you'll see that who's doing it the most? White women. Why? Why? When you were in school and most of your teachers were white, you had a lot of problems with your white teachers, didn't you? I know I did. I once had my principal bring me to her office. I was in lunch, and this white boy, he threw a Coke can at me. And so I threw it back at him. The white supervisor, the lady, you know, the white teacher that walks around making sure all the children are being good animals or whatever, she walks around and she sees me throw it back at him. But I was like, he just threw it at me. She's like, I didn't see that. I just saw you throw it back at him. And I said, okay. So she takes me to the principal's office, and I'm explaining the story to the principal. And the principal, a white woman, says, well, Aleem, if I shot you with a gun, would you shoot me with a gun? And without blinking, hesitating, or thinking about it, I said yes. I said yes. Yes, I would shoot you. If you shot me, yes, I would shoot you. In that example, I'm trying to show you that white women don't think any differently than white men. They love their fathers. White women love their fathers. Who were their fathers? Their fathers were the white men who tried to stop the progress of black men. But white men, white women love their white fathers. So they grew up in a household where the culture was to hate black men. They grow up in a society where the culture is to hate white black men. So even as intelligent as they think they are, as progressive or as liberal as they think they are, oh, well, I've had black boyfriends, and so that makes me not racist. No, that doesn't mean anything to me. In fact, it makes you more racist in my mind, because why would you want to have sex with a black man, knowing what that would do to a black woman? Why would you want to deprive a black woman of her own man? If you had any respect for black people, you don't have no damn respect for black people. You're just after your own selfish desires. You're just being a white woman. You're just following what the white government told you to do. Miscegenation is a program that was implemented by the government in America to mollify and make soft black men. That's why the government allowed miscegenation to exist. And for those of you who don't know what miscegenation means interracial mixing. Miscegenation was first used in Brazil when they freed their slaves, the black people who were enslaved in Brazil. The Portuguese, Spaniards, I'm not sure, white men, they implemented miscegenation as a tool to stop their newly freed black people from rising up and killing them. So as a way to keep them from killing them, or, you know, rising up, having a insurrection, or, you know, a slave revolt, they gave these black men white women. Why? Because when you have sex with a white woman, you're not having sex with a white woman. You're having sex with white people. To have sex with a white woman is not to have sex with a individual. What you're doing by having sex with a white woman is you're enslaving yourself to white people through the body of a white woman. The white woman is using her body to tie you back to the white race again. So they freed you, but then they gave you a white woman so that you could be mentally bound to them again. Because when you're with a white woman, you have to cater to a white woman. And catering to a white woman, you have to cater to her needs as a white woman. And white women have particular needs that black women don't have. And their needs are rooted in being white. Their needs are very inherently white. And so when you cater to a white woman, you are negating your own blackness, as well as endorsing and supporting her whiteness, which means that you are becoming a slave all over again, and you are becoming a tool for white people to use you to say, this is how black people should be. That's the only thing that Bill Cosby is guilty of, in my opinion. Having sex with white women and cheating on his wife. Cheating on his wife first, having sex with white women secondly. But raping? Please. You don't have to rape white women. You don't have to rape them. I've turned down many white women in my life. Many. I've never kissed, had sex, held hands with a white woman. Ever. You don't have to rape them. They will have sex with you. White women are very easy. They're easily conquered, bro. They're easy to be sexually conquered. They want to be sexually conquered. Because they're following the program. Well, you say, well, how are white people programmed? That's a very good question. White people are programmed from TV. Whatever is allowed on TV, white people know that that is what their government wants. Do you see Minister Farrakhan on TV? Do you see the Nation of Islam on TV? Do you see strong black representatives on TV all the time, on day in, day out? You see BET. BET is nothing but nigga television. That's allowable. That's allowed. But do you see strong black images on TV? No. Why? Because the government does not endorse that. That's not in the program. So when you on the TV, the government endorses interracial marriages. So that is a signal to white people. See, you don't understand that, but white people get their signals from the government through the TV. So when the movie came out in the 1960s, I think it was called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And the movie was about Sidney Poitier, a black man, coming to dinner at a white woman's house. And the movie gained so much, attention because it was the beginning of interracial relationships openly. Hollywood made that movie because the government made them make that movie. And the government allowed that movie to be made because they wanted to initiate a new program, a new a new system of psychological control over the black man by using the white woman. So when white women watch that movie, see, when black women watch that movie, they say, you know, oh, this is, you know, a good movie or whatever. But when a white woman watches that movie, she says, okay, this is what my government wants. This is what's being accepted. This is what I need to be doing. Because when a white woman watches that movie, she's saying, I'm that white woman in the movie. I'm the one that's supposed to be with a black man. Because that's what my government wants me. That the government, my government, my God, America, wouldn't have made this movie if they did not want me to do what is being done in this movie. They want me to be with the black man. Now, that white woman may not be altogether sure why her government or God wants her to be with a black man, but she does know that her God, America, gave her permission to be with a black man. She may not be hip to the diabolical plan of making black men into slaves through having strong connections, emotional connections to white women. She may not be very hip to that intellectually, from an intellectual place, but she does know that she will listen to what her God, America, says, because America gives her everything that she needs. So she's going to return the favor and do what America tells her to do. That's why so many white women. That's why all at one time. Because somebody gave the order. We need Bill Cosby brought down. Somebody gave the order. And they resurrected all these old flames from Bill Cosby's past and said, we need you all to do this. It's not like they never knew. Bill Cosby has been being watched his entire career. So whenever he thought he was having an affair with a white woman and nobody knew about it, the white man was always watching. Just like they were watching Martin Luther King and COINTELPRO and J. Edgar Hoover were trying to find ways to monitor all black leaders. Bugging black leaders' houses and trying to get inside information on them to use against them in the public, to help destroy their credibility to their own people, as they are doing now with Bill Cosby. So the white men always knew Bill Cosby had relationships with those white women. He was just waiting for the time that he could execute the dirt. He gathered all the dirt, gathering data, and then we're going to keep this data on file until we need to use it. I hope Bill Cosby never makes us have to use this information, but we got it if he ever makes us have to use it. And apparently Bill Cosby made them have to use that information. That's the reason why you're seeing what you're seeing. You're not seeing what you're seeing because a bunch of women just all had an epiphany. Oh, I think it's about time that I share my story with the world. No. You may fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. That's Bob Marley. He was right. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool us all the time. The devil ain't fooling no Muslim. Not letting the devil fool this Muslim. You let the devil fool you if you want to. The devil not fooling this one. I don't believe anything the devil says. Everything the devil says has to be scrutinized until you can squeeze a drop of truth out of it, because most of what they say is nothing but lies. You can only get about a drop or two of truth out of what a white person says. And until I've squeezed out the truth, I'm not believing a damn thing any of them say. You can continue to be fooled, but I'm not. and not until it's you. And then something happens to you. These white people said, I did this and I didn't. And you want somebody to believe you. Somebody should do to you what you do to them. Somebody should say, I don't believe that nigga. Probably did do it. That's what somebody should. I won't do it. I won't do you like that. But somebody should do that to you so you can feel it. Allah should make that happen to you so that you can feel the sensation of what it means to be unjustly hated by your own kind. Just a little bit so you can understand just how evil of a thing it is when you do that, whether it be Bill Cosby, whether it be Kanye West, whether it be Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was a beautiful human being. And he had to spend his last days on earth with not knowing, not being confident in whether or not his people had his back. Because the white man had did such a good job of destroying his name that black people even thought it was starting to be funny to do the same thing. You see nothing but black comedians making fun of Michael Jackson. Black people at school making fun of Michael Jackson. I have to go to school. The only person that did defend Michael Jackson was me and another brother named Stephon Mitchell. Stephon Mitchell was inspired by Michael Jackson to be a dancer. And to this day, brother Stephon Mitchell is still dancing and making movies in Atlanta and projects and things like that. He was in a film with Samuel Jackson, my brother. And he's still dancing today because he was inspired by Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson inspired me not to dance, but Michael Jackson inspired me spiritually to show myself no matter how I am seen, to show myself. That's what Michael Jackson did for me. Michael Jackson was a light. He was a light. He was a shining star. That's why when you see the way he portrayed himself, the visual direction with Michael Jackson was always lights. Let's put lights on Michael. When Michael Jackson moonwalked, they had him moonwalk and then his shoes glow up. Or when he's doing Billie Jean, he's tapping squares that light up to show that wherever he touched his foot, that was considered to be holy. Now, I wouldn't go as far as to say that he was holy, but he was fantastic. He was a great human being. He always was putting himself in white clothes, wearing glittery clothing. Why? Because he a faggot? No, you might be a faggot. Michael Jackson was a brother who wore glittery things to show to you how he thought about himself as a man. He thought of his manhood and his humanity as something that was bright like a star. So he wore glittery things to kind of show you, this is how I think about myself. I think I'm a star. I think I'm great. I think I'm beautiful. That's why he wore that. And those people destroyed that man. One of those little children committed suicide because of the lie that they told on that man, talking about he touched them. Said my parents made me tell that lie because my parents wanted some of Michael Jackson's money. Devil. Devil. A devil trying to ruin a man's life. So that man spent his last days on earth not sure about who loved him or who didn't. When he used to go out in a crowd and they had to have paramedics stand on standby because women would faint and they had to rush them to a place where they could regroup themselves so they can go back out and faint all over again. That's how much people loved that man. But that all changed in the twinkling of an eye. But it didn't have to change that much, because if black people weren't so eager to believe everything white people said, he would have still had a strong base. The base that he started off with, black people. Before he was ever a big star with the Jackson 5, it was black people who that supported Michael Jackson. Motown Records and all those beautiful black people there. But you're not strong like that. You don't really got it like that. In the Holy Quran, it says, do you enjoy eating the flesh of your dead brother? Let me read the whole passage. to be completely correct. O you who believe, let not people laugh at people, perchance they may be better than they. Nor let women laugh at women, perchance they may be better than they. Neither find fault with your own people, nor call one another by nicknames. Evil is a bad name after faith, and whoso turns not, these it is that are the iniquitous. O you who believe, avoid most of suspicion, for surely suspicion in some cases is sin. And spy not, nor let some of you backbite others. Does one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You abhor it and keep your duty to Allah. Surely Allah is oft returning to mercy, merciful. What is Allah saying? What are you saying, Allah? Supreme being, one who knows all things. What are you trying to tell us? Spy not, nor let some of you backbite others. What does backbiting mean? It means to speak poorly and to speak slander against somebody. To talk about somebody behind their back. Backbiting. Does one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Basically, Allah is saying that spiritually you are cannibalistic. You are spiritual cannibals. You like to eat the flesh of brothers who you think are less than you. It's Allah says, let not you laugh at people, perchance you might be better than them. Avoid suspicion, for surely suspicion in some cases is a sin. Avoid being suspicious of somebody. You don't avoid suspicion, do you? You actually go to suspicion first. You always jump the gun to assume that somebody is guilty or something. I suspect they did. I suspect something of that person. Why? What are you basing that on? What thought are you basing that on? What did they do? That's just my suspicion. Allah says avoid suspicion. Does one of you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? You damn cannibals, you sharpen your teeth whenever you get the chance to see a black man or a black woman in a position of vulnerability. So you can say, ooh, I'm going to eat this nigga today. I'm going to see what this nigga tastes like. Because I got the opportunity to strike this nigga now. This nigga showed that he wasn't a celebrity. He was just a human being like me, making mistakes like me. Or I'ma eat this nigga. That's how you niggas think. I don't know if that's a good point to leave on or not. But peace.